There we go. Super. Right. If you've got your Bibles, which some of you probably don't have, but if you have or you've got it on your phone, I'm going to read from John chapter 15. It's coming up on the screen if you haven't got them. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, the NLT. So John chapter 15, verse 1 to 17. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned for greater fruitfulness by the message I have given you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who parts from me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you stay joined to me and my words remain in you, you may ask any request that you like and it will be granted. My true disciples produce much fruit. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey me, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father and remain in his love. I have told you this so you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. I command you to love each other in the same way that I love you. And here is how to measure it. The greatest love is shown when people lay down their lives for their friends. You are my friends if you obey me. I no longer call you servants because a master doesn't confide in his servants. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father has told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit that will last, so that your Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. I command you to love each other. Two verses that really clearly stand out for me there are verse 8, my true disciples produce much fruit. And verse 16, I appointed you, Jesus said, to go and produce fruit that will last. Now, we are doing our series on fruitful lives and fruitful church. And I think, really, perhaps you can have two main takeaway points. One is that living for Jesus and in Jesus and rooted in him will produce fruit. Will. You can't have the life of Jesus and not produce fruit. It's a natural outcome of living a God-centered life. And actually, it's a sign that that life is within us. So if you're in Christ, you will produce fruit. And the second thing is that this abundant, long-lasting fruit only comes from being and staying connected to the source of life, Jesus. It only comes from there. And I don't know about you, but do you find it sometimes that you start drawing from the life of good ideas, or just church, or a favorite podcast, or something other than the true, undiluted life of Jesus? Or is that just me? Sometimes you draw on the life of the church, you're involved in the community groups and delivering that, whatever, and that energizes you and whatever. Actually, when you analyze it, that's what's energizing you, not your one-to-one relationship with Jesus. It's very subtle, and it can happen a little by little until you come to a crunch time and the community group you are helping can't solve your problem, and you have to go, oh Jesus, yeah, could you help me out with this? You know what I mean? It's very subtle, and we have to be really careful that we don't get our life source from the people around us, from church, from podcast. You don't get it second hand, you get it first hand. You're plugged straight into the vine, because that is where our life source is. And I encourage us all to make sure, give yourself a check every now and again, what am I plugged into? Where am I getting my main life from? Because where you get your main life from, that's the kind of fruit you produce. And We need to produce the fruit that the life of Jesus gives us. So today I'm going to, Jamie's asked me to close the series. I mean, it might pop up again in a few weeks, you know, from any time when a preacher decides that they need to come back to it. But officially, our Fruitful Lives, Fruitful Church series is ending today, finishing today. And I want to look at, along that theme, pruning. Who knows what pruning is? Who's a gardener? Oh, some of you are like, you know, okay. Pruning, this is a definition I found, is a horticultural practice, that means involving plants, that involves a selective removal. Some people get hold of a sucker tears and go, and it's like plants are about dead now. So we're talking about selective removal of certain parts of a plant, such as branches and buds and roots, for the targeted removal of disease, damage, dead and non-productive and structurally unsound or otherwise unwanted plant material from a plant. They do that, they cut away those things with the aim of producing more fruit. Pruning is to produce more fruit. And in fact, in verse 1 and 2, Jesus, of our passage today, Jesus actually uses the word, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will be miserable. No, so they will produce more fruit. And the first thing to note, and then you need to get this because it's quite, people can fall into the trap of this. The first thing to note is that in relation to us being likened to a vine or a plant, that pruning is to produce even more fruit is not a punishment. And you can sometimes get the two muddled up. Oh, well, that's been pruned off my, and I must have done something wrong. No. Pruning is about preparing the plant for more fruit. It's not a punishment. It's not a discipline issue. Pruning is to make us more fruitful, and discipline, on the other hand, is to help identify a condition, a sin, or an error in our lives that needs to be addressed. Now, as Christians and children of God, we do get disciplined, because Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, it says, my child, don't ignore it when the Lord disciplines you, and don't be discouraged when he corrects you, for the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes those he accepts as his children. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. So we do get disciplined from time to time. All of you who are parents will understand the concept. Don't discipline unruly children, they don't learn. When we are with God and he's our Father, and we do things wrong or we're undisciplined and we're being unruly, sometimes he needs to discipline us. But God's pruning in our life is because we're doing good and he wants to prune our lives so that we produce more fruit. Discipline is because we're doing something bad and it hinders our fellowship with God and he wants better for us, so he disciplines us to get that bit cut out of our lives. Either way, whether it's pruning or discipline, let me just tell you, God wants better for us. He does it because he loves us. He does it because that's the way to get fruit. He does it because that's good for us. And so even with discipline with God, it's always for our benefit and always for our good, and never in anger. And all you parents will go, yeah, been there. Disciplining out of anger rather than controlled, I'm going to have to teach you that that's wrong and this is the consequence. So I'm not focusing on discipline today, but I did need to mention it, because when I talk about pruning and cutting off, automatically some of your minds will go to like, oh, well, it's discipline then, God, we're bound to have done something wrong. No, discipline is because there's some stuff that needs sorting out. Pruning is because you're on the right course, and actually with a little bit of pruning, you are going to produce even more fruit. Well done, let's have some more of the same. That's what God's saying, okay? So, pruning is not a punishment for a Christian. It is a reward. Who feels like that when actually Because pruning does involve cutting, doesn't it? Cutting involves severing. Cutting involves stopping, removing, that's not there anymore. And it can be a painful process. You know, cutting is not of a plant, or if we're saying we're a plant, it can be a little bit, it can be a bit painful at times. But the succoteers, the spiritual succoteers in the hands of God can be trusted, because he knows where you're going to produce the most fruit and the best fruit and the fruit that will last. He knows. So although it can be a little bit uncomfortable and maybe downright painful, but actually the master gardener, when he's set to work, the fruit is absolutely awesome. So I just want to look at why we may need pruning in our lives. And the first reason, gardeners prune their plants so that the nutrients go to the most productive parts. So the unwanted, my mum came around the other day and she looked at my roses and get the succoteers out, Judith, snip that off, snap that. That one is a sucker or whatever. And so you get rid of that one. Oh, it looked a decent branch to me, but I don't know. But that's just going to take life out of my roses, and it's not going to produce the fruit and the flowers that I want it to produce. So it's got to be cut off. And so if I didn't cut it off, that little sucker thing that was going to go looking really strong and fighting for light, that's going to take nutrients that actually it's not going to produce. You're nodding your head. Are you a rose expert, Susan? Okay, but you're like the principles there. And so that's got to be cut off, because hang on, I don't want you having a branch with no roses on. I want my roses to look brilliant. So you're not having all the nutrients, you naughty little sucker. We cut it off. So hopefully my roses are going to look lovely. So some branches need to be pruned so that all the nutrients go to the healthy parts and the fruit producing parts. Anybody know Joyce Meyer? She's a lady who's a really good biblical teacher. And she said, it's good for us to stop and evaluate our lives sometimes and ask God to show us if there are any things that need to be cut off because they are hindering our growth in our relationship with him. Ask yourself, am I dragging around dead branches in my life? Maybe it's a bad relationship, an old wound from your past, or a negative attitude that keeps you from enjoying life to the fullest. Certain things that are in our lives that kind of grow, sometimes they need snipping off, pruning off, because they're taking away valuable nutrients and valuable time and effort that really are best directed to a different part of your life. So, first thing that pruning can do is gets more nutrients to the most active parts. The second thing, that it helps prevent disease and infection. If you prune off diseased branches from a tree or a shrub at the right time, it will eliminate the disease from spreading to the rest of the plant. So it might be, oh, it's only one branch, it looks a bit diseased. Yeah, but if you leave that branch there, it's going to infect the whole of the plant and your whole plant will be diseased. And I thought about this and I thought, do you know, sometimes, have you ever had the situation where God has challenged you to do something that is beyond what you think you could do, completely out your comfort zone, and you've wrestled with him and eventually you go, okay, yes, I'll do it. And you do it and you're kind of like, whoa, okay. Jamie's nodding his head. You're kind of like, okay, well, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. And so the thing that was the massive challenge to you has now become your new normal. But you know, the problem with new normals is self-confidence, complacency, settling can develop in your new normal. Yes, you've stepped up to what God asked you to do, but God doesn't want you to settle there. He don't want you to come complacent. Oh, well, yeah, I can do this now. I didn't think I could, but now I can. Because you know what? If we allow those things in our lives to take root and to grow, complacency and kind of like, yeah, I've got this sorted, yeah, self-confidence, then that is a disease in our spiritual lives that we must guard against, because that's a killer attitude. Because in our reading, you can do these things because I am in you, and you've got remain in me, Jesus said. As soon as you start getting the attitude, you can do them anyway, that is where we it's a dangerous place to be. And that kind of attitude, that the killer attitudes can spread, and then it can invade all sorts of bits in our lives. And I was thinking, post-COVID, I mean, COVID was an awful time. And I haven't spoken to a Christian leader that says, whew, COVID, because it hit the church. And then you wonder, like, what has settled into even not just the church, but life? Like the government is trying to get people to go back to work who decided in COVID, oh, I can't go to work. I like this not going to work. I'm not going to go to work. I'm going to retire early. And now suddenly they've got all the taxes coming in and the income coming in. They're like, oh, please come back to work. And there seemed to be something where someone said, the government said, right, stop. Unless you can work from home, stop. You can only go out once a day for a short walk. You were restricted. And initially people were like, and then people were like, oh, well, don't have to go to work then. I kind of like sitting on my backside and watching the telly. Oh, and we can watch the church on the telly as well. Maybe we don't need to go anymore. We can now, few people on Zoom, I know you guys, and I know you're not here for a very good reason, so this is not you, so just let that go over your head. But there are some people that now have got what you call armchair Christianity. They turn on the telly at the end of their bed with a cup of tea and a croissant, and that's church. I'm like, no, that's not church. That's spectating church, for goodness sake. And there's something that's crept into our society that thinks, oh, yes, life's an effort. I'd much rather give up my job and, you know, retire early if you can, or whatever. And there's just something that's come in, that's crept in, and we need to, that's a disease that needs pruning. It needs cutting off, because otherwise it pervades the whole of your life. Those people need to be careful, because if they've got kids, they're going to like, oh yeah, disciplining you is hard, I'm not going to bother. You've got hooligans coming up, mate, you've got to discipline them. It can pervade your whole attitude toward things. You only do things that's easy or convenient. I'm telling you, church, we're not called to easy or convenient. We're called to be a disciple of Christ, plugged into the vine, and that life flows through us. And it does bother me that some people are just like, oh, well, you know, I don't have to come to church. Now, I said at the beginning, plugging into Christ is not the same as plugging into church, right? I'm not contradicting myself. Fruit comes from being plugged into the vine. But when you are plugged into the vine, I can categorically say to you, unless you are in solitary confinement in a prison in a country that doesn't allow you to gather with other Christians, I can categorically tell you that Jesus, the vine, the life, will say to you, get your bum to church. Get involved. Be a part of the body. Be a functioning part of the body. Don't be a spectator. Because we're supposed to be a body, a family. We need each other. And sometimes pruning, we have to look at some attitudes that have crept in and go, God goes, no, we need to snip that, because that's going to infect the whole plant. So it prevents disease infection. And the third thing that pruning does, it allows and it stimulates new and healthy growth by promoting new growth. So I look at my blueberries. I love my blueberry plants. Oh, they save me a fortune when they're thinging. But, and I read the other day, I thought, well, should I be pruning these? So I'm preaching on this. I thought, I'll have a look. And it tells me I should be pruning my blueberries. Oh, my word. But they're producing loads of fruit. Well, the one on the right isn't so much, probably because I haven't pruned it. And if you're not careful, if you don't prune, then the old growth is old growth. And eventually it doesn't How many people are like, I talked about being old this morning. There are certain things that I cannot, looking after three grandchildren last week. I just, you know, they're on their bikes going down to this park on their bikes, and I'm walking with a bad back, and I'm seeing them disappear into the distance. They were told to wait at a junction, and they always do, which is great, but I'm looking in the distance thinking, I can't run after them. I could before, I used to, but there's certain things as an older age I can't do. And if we don't prune and we don't cut back, then the fruit that we produce starts to lessen a bit. And God needs to say, no, 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 we need to cut that off, because if we cut that off, a new shoot will come and plenty of fruit will come out of that. And young trees, which are pruned regularly and correctly, grow to be strong and possess high tolerance at maturity. Isn't that great? Pruning the trees when they are young also reduces the risks of failure and prevents defects. Don't you, okay, I'll confess. Have you ever met a person who's just come to faith, right? They've just plugged into the vine. Their Holy Spirit has just made their spirit come alive, and they are buzzing with life from Jesus. You met any? And they're telling you this, and they're doing that, and you took me there, and you're like, anyone else admit to going, yeah, well, you'll calm down in a bit. Anybody else other than me? Yeah? And naughty, naughty, Judith. No, 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 no. I never, and we should never, stifle the lovely new life of new Christians. But God, if you notice, will get the pruning shears out. And he will say, actually, no, 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 let's have you going in this direction, because they're young trees, and it's God's job, with the help of us sometimes, to take them under our wing and discipleship, but it's God's job to say, no, you can't change the whole world all at once. Let's just concentrate in this one area for a bit. But it's the same enthusiasm and the same power. It's just focused a little bit more specifically rather than changing the whole world all at once. So encourage new Christians and help them to mature and to be able to understand where God is restricting them and pruning them. But all Christians, and that's all of us in this room, need regular pruning throughout our lives to ensure new growth for health and for fruit. Agreed? So my final point, and this struck me in reading this, in verse 3, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said to his disciples, you have already been pruned for greater fruitfulness by the message I have given you. Now that struck me. He's talking about pruning, and he says, you guys have already had some pruning. You guys are ripe for some bumper fruit that's coming your direction. So I thought, from the message I've given you. So I flick back. This is John 15 we're talking about. And I flick back in the Gospel of John, and it's just before Jesus goes to Gethsemane and dies. So you can do it in any of the Gospels. They record different things. But you have a look at the pruning and the growing and the challenge and the chopping and changing of attitudes, of faith, of their motivation of their life, their focus, that Jesus was doing with the disciples. Is he was always teaching them. He was always teaching them, no, don't think like this. This is what the religious people say, but I'm telling you, you've got to do it this way. He was pruning off religion and what they've been brought up with, because he wanted them to be in the vine, getting the life that was in him. And they had some major pruning to be going on with. He was challenging them all the time. And Jesus is saying here that the disciples' obedience to what he had already taught them has set them up for probably the greatest challenge they will ever have, and for the most fruit that was about to come. In fact, out there in Horizon Fun and Crèche today, they are learning about the transfiguration of Jesus and the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the disciples. Because Jesus is saying, you guys are it. My life in you is it. I'm off. I'm off to the Father so the Holy Spirit can come. It's now my life in you. Go for it. And that's what they're learning out there today. And Jesus had taught them all this stuff. He'd prepared them. He'd pruned them. He'd kind of taken off the branches that were, you know, about those two brothers, like, when they rejected the message of Jesus. Oh, let's call fire down from heaven, Jesus, and frazzle them. Jesus is like, good, prune that off. Let's deal with that attitude. No, no, no. I am capable of calling fire down from heaven and burning them and you, but I'm not going to, because that's not the Father's way. This, the life in me is doing it differently. And he was teaching the disciples all of that. So the next part of their journey would require them drawing on the life of Jesus when he wasn't physically in their sight or with them via the Holy Spirit. That's what he was teaching them. And much more fruit was going to be ahead of them. Like Peter's first sermon, 3,000 people got saved. Whoa, that's some fruit. I can imagine the new converts classes kind of like, oh, we're going to look after all these people. But anyway, because Jesus had already pruned them and set them up for success and fruitfulness. But note this, I, Jesus, have prepared you. You've already been pruned for greater fruitfulness by the message I have given you. He gave it to them, but they were only set up for fruitfulness when they obeyed what he'd given them. So those who were obedient to this process of pruning would stand strong and be fruitful. Who was the person that we know didn't go with that pruning? What's his name? One of the disciples. Kinsey J, guys, come on. Judas. He denied Jesus. He had his hand in the bag all the time anyway. He sold Jesus, betrayed Jesus for money. Judas had heard everything that the other disciples heard. He'd seen everything that the other disciples saw. He'd been subject to the challenge of pruning and decided, I'm doing it my way. So when the time came, he denied Jesus and he fell. Peter and many others did have a wobble, let's admit it. They did have a wobble, but actually they emerged stronger and closer to Jesus by remaining in the vine, because they'd subjected themselves, allowed God to prune them, change them by obeying what Jesus had said. So I think there's a lesson to be learned there. If we resist pruning by disobeying what God tells you, then we'll be left in a weakened state for the challenges yet to come. And God knows what those challenges are. So obedience to him will set you up for more fruitfulness. Hanging on to successful service when God tells you to put it down is not going to go good, right? The fruit will slowly wither and drop off. I've experienced in my life, my long life, feeling my age, mate, I really am. I get my pension this month. I've experienced many times in my life when God has pruned me, when he's not punished, he's done that as well, I could tell you, but I'm talking about pruning, I'm not talking about discipline, I'm talking about pruning, when he's asked me to give up putting my energy into ministry and into seemingly successful service. I want you to stop doing that now. Stop doing it, because I want that energy to go into this branch, because that's going to produce fruit that I want for this season. I'm like, yeah, okay. David and I have gone through some tough pruning. Horizon Church was the fruit of one of those tough pruning times. We didn't think so at the time, but it was. And God knew what he was doing, and we allowed the master gardener to go with his sucker tears and say, right. Hanging on to the leadership of Horizon is not part of the plan for God, for Dave and I, which is why we've handed over to Jamie. The sucker tears have come out and said, nope. And I tell you, there isn't a more Horizon DNA-centered person that has not been brought up in Horizon than this guy. He's just come with it. It's like a stick of rock. It's all the way through him. God provided him, and at that time, God said to us, that's it. You prune that bit off. You're not the senior pastors anymore. We're still here, and we're still doing stuff, and we'll do exactly what he asked us to do. But I'm looking, and I'm like, okay, well, what? Not that we're going anywhere, but already, actually, there's some you know, ministers in the area that said, well, could you just come and have a, you know, a look at our church and maybe come and preach and stuff like that. I don't know what God's going to, what other little new shoots are going to come out. We're not going to abandon Horizon. You are our first commitment, but we're also looking for the little shoots that God says, right, I want you to do that here and do that there. We can attest to the fact that God can be trusted with his pruning succoteers. He does know best. So to summarize our series then, God is responsible for developing more fruit in your lives. Get that? God is responsible. I don't want you thinking, oh, I'm not very fruitful, so I'm going to have to put more effort into producing fruit. No. God is responsible for making more fruit. Our responsibility is singular, remaining in the vine, remaining in the life of Christ, remaining in Christ, and so that his life flows through us and we produce fruit naturally. Verse 4 sums this up excellently. Remain in me and I will remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from me. So at this close of this series, I'd like to just challenge us and say, let's stay connected to Jesus, to the vine, the life source. Keep, and I speak to myself, keep my relationship with God up close and personal, not through a second or third party. Keep it up close and personal. And then the life of Jesus will naturally produce fruit in you. You will not be able to help it. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. And just, you plug into the vine yourself. You've heard what I've been saying this morning, and I believe that the Holy Spirit can nudge you and say, yep, that needs my succoteers. Oh, I've been speaking to you for a while about not putting your efforts there, but putting your efforts there. Or maybe God's talking to you about some attitudes that have crept in, COVID or not, or just attitudes that, and God is saying, well, actually, if we pruned those, then you'd be more fruitful. And I just want us to just be in God's presence for a moment, and Steve's going to come up and lead us in one of the songs that he's done already that is appropriate for this. But just give yourself a check. Where is my life source? Where is it coming from? And I remember somebody said to me, who knew that we were retiring and we're giving up our senior pastor role, and they said, oh, doesn't that make you feel nervous as to what you're useful for and who you are? And I went, no, because that's not my identity. My identity is in Christ. I don't get my identity from a position or a status or a salary or any leadership role. It comes from being in the vine. And we need to be careful where we get our life source from, our identity from. And maybe as Steve just sings this refrain for us, that you can talk to God and allow him and say, God, put your gardening gloves on, please. I want to be fruitful. I want to be mega fruitful. I trust you to snip off the things that are stopping me, preventing me from being fruitful. Let's just spend just a few moments in God's presence. Can There also might be people here who say, actually, I want to be connected to the vine. I've seen what's, I've been searching, I've been looking and coming to church and stuff, and actually, I now know that I need to be connected to Jesus. And your first step is to accept Jesus as your Lord and your Saviour, to have your sins, which we've all committed, forgiven because of his death on the cross, and then for the Holy Spirit to make your spirit come alive. At that point, you are plugged in to the life of Christ. And if that is your desire, I want you at the end of the service to go to someone you know that can help you, know that can trust, and say, I need to get plugged into the vine. Please pray with me and help me do that. And for the rest of us, Lord, who are looking at pruning, maybe we're putting our confidence in the money we earn, the job we've got, our relationship, the house we live in. I don't know. God, whatever you're challenging us about to get our focus off and put on you, we pray that you will help us to be brave enough to be like the, all the other disciples, bar Judas, who said, I've heard what you've said and I'm putting it into practice because you can be trusted with my life because you want me to be fruitful and much more than that, fruit that will last. God, I pray you'll help us by your Holy Spirit to plug into you this week. Help us to be in the vine. Help us to spend some time with you doing that check so that we're drawing from your Holy Spirit, from your presence, from your life. In Jesus' name. Amen.